to 1 Peter. We're looking today as the end of, well, I think the end of this session, the series that we've been going through over these last weeks. And we're going to be looking at primarily 1 Peter 2, verses 9 through 12. And we'll end up there. We'll end up there. We've been doing this series, and if you have not been able to be here or miss some of the series, it is online on the website. You can catch up on it and be up to date on the series. And as I start, I want to just correct myself. Last week during the message, I asked what the meaning of the name Israel was, and several of you got it right, and I got it wrong. I said Prince of God. That is not correct. It means prevails with God. Some of you said, you know, strives with God, so on and so forth. But yeah, so I wanted to correct myself on that and get that right. So I corrected myself before any of you did, and that was good. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, we come to your word. Your word is truth. We ask that by the power of the Spirit, you will speak to us. Give us revelation. Give us understanding. Open our hearts and our minds to the truth of your word, Lord. And then empower us to obey you, that we may honor and glorify your name, Lord, that we may love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. For that is our desire, and that is your command to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We've been looking out these past weeks that the need for us in this day and in this culture, this present time, is that we must have a biblical worldview. We must have a worldview that is based on the Scriptures, the truth of God, because we live in a world that is basically shifting sand. And one thing may be popular right now. In a week, a month, a year, it may not be popular. Things that were once held as morals, biblical values, are being thrown out the window. God is being dismissed from every aspect of society. We wonder sometimes why things are not going well. We wonder sometimes, where is God in the midst of things? And my answer to you is, how can God be involved with things when all we do is keep telling him to get out? We wonder why our schools are such a mess. Well, we remove prayer, we remove the Scriptures, the Ten Commands. We tell God, you have no place in the public arena, get out. And don't anyone dare pray in school. Oh, you might offend somebody. Every aspect of society, God is being disinvited. So it is no wonder that our world is in such a mess. It's no wonder that things are going as badly as they are. But for you and I, we are called to be agents, ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called, if we have come to a place where we have put our faith in Christ, we have surrendered our lives to Him, and we've invited Him in to be our Savior, to be our Lord. We've received His Holy Spirit, the gift of the indwelling Spirit. God then calls us to be agents. How many of you like spy movies, agent movies? I have a lot of fun with those. My kids, when they're growing up, they used to watch the spy movies. I can't remember the name of them. Say it again. That's not a kid's movie, though. Shame on you. Don't be watching that stuff, Bill. Spy Kids. Yeah. There's a no-brainer, Tom. But the spy movies, they're always fun, you know. Finding out the different aspects of, you know, you think this person's one thing, and then you find out they're not. They're actually an agent for this other one. And it should not be so with us. It should not be a guessing game. People should look at us in our lives, and they should say, huh, that person, that man, that woman, that child, that boy, that girl, is a representative of Jesus Christ. There should be no question. There are no closet Christians. If you're a closet Christian, it's time to come out. Get out of the closet. And so we have been looking over these past weeks as a biblical worldview. What is a biblical worldview? What are the elements of it? And we saw that the main point is this, and I want to go over it again, that this is God's plan that we are to be engaged with. God desires to save every person on earth through the seed of Abraham, Genesis 12, to save them from sin and death, Exodus 19 through 24, to save them into an everlasting kingdom, 1 Samuel 7, 8 through 16, through the blood of His Son, Messiah Jesus, who is the rightful King of the whole earth, Luke chapter 22, verses 16 through 30. Why is that important? Listen, you and I ought to know what God's plan is. You and I ought to know these elements of this plan. Why? Because they're based on the major covenants in the Scriptures that God has been doing from the beginning. Let's go through it just a few minutes as a reminder. Number one, creation. God created the earth. He is the great creator of all things. He created all things. And humans are His special creation. They are the pinnacle of the creation. Why? Because they are made in the image and the likeness of God. And at the end of His creation time, He says, everything was what? Very good. Ah, but something happened. Something went wrong because it went from being very good to not so hot. What happened? Well, there's a thing called the fall. We looked at Genesis chapter 3 and we saw the fall, the intentional disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve. It wasn't just Eve, Adam was with her. Wives, turn to your husband and say, Adam was with her. You need to get that right, man. You're the leader. So man intentionally sins and thereby brings curse upon the earth and upon himself. There is alienation and separation between him and God. And as God said, the soul that sins, it shall what? In the day that you eat of the fruit of the tree that I commanded you not to eat, you shall surely die. In dying, you shall die. And so spiritual death happens and physical death comes about, decay. And it's not just with them, it's also upon all creation, animals, plants, and even the earth is cursed. Number three, we saw the extent of sin. Genesis chapter 6 and 9, the Lord says that the intent of man's heart is only evil continually, even from a childhood. Some of y'all say, oh, can you see this little grandbaby here? Isn't it an angel? Yeah, give it time. They're going to grow up real soon and be like Mr. Bill over there, a rascal. You see it, some of your kids growing up already. The kids are, you know, they're young, they're pliable. You can tell them, you can pick them up and throw them if you have to, right? Knock them down. They get about this big, you can't do that anymore. They're about to knock you down. I can still whip you, Kenny. Don't remember this. Forget that. I think I can. Well, we saw God's plan out of this sin problem, this sin issue. He begins redemption. Number four, He begins the formation of a special people. He calls Abram, and He calls him out of the people that he's in, and he's going to form a special people. And in Genesis chapter 12, He forms a special covenant. A special covenant. He's going to form a covenant with Abram, and He says, I'm going to make you into a special people. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And everyone that blesses you, I will what? Everyone that blesses you, Israel, Abraham's descendants, Abraham and his descendants, everyone that blesses you, I will what? And everyone that curses you, I will what? Now you understand why we need to stick with Israel? Why our country must stand by Israel? If we bless Israel, if we stand with Israel, we will be what? And if we curse Israel, if we come against Israel, this does not mean that we condone everything that they do. But as a country, as a people, we stand with them with the right that they have to exist and to defend their country. And if we will bless them, we will be blessed. But if we curse them, what will happen? we will be cursed. You wonder why things have not been going well over the past several years in this country. From the administration top all the way down, our president came out and boasted just a couple of weeks ago about how wonderful the economy is doing. And I was like, what planet are you on? I don't mean any disrespect, but that statement, our economy, I mean, there's like 6 million people that are unemployed. 3 million that are underemployed. I mean, it goes on and on and on. All right, let's move on, Pastor. Move on. He gives Abraham the covenant that I'm going to bless you, I'm going to make you into a great nation. And so we know the story. The people go down into Egypt and eventually they end up in slavery. And he sends a deliverer to bring them out of slavery. It says, the Lord hears their cry. And so he sends who? Moses. He sends Moses down to bring his people out of slavery in Egypt. Exodus chapter 1 through 14. He brings them out and he brings them through the great Exodus, the great passage through the sea. He splits the sea. The sea comes back over the armies of Pharaoh and they are saved. They are delivered. Exodus chapter 19, he makes a covenant with all the descendants of Abraham. We have to understand this. These are the descendants of Abraham, the one he made the first covenant with, the Abrahamic covenant. He now makes a second covenant with all the descendants of Abraham. The Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 through 6, Colby Garrett will read that to us.
Then Moses went up to God. But you are a chosen people. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to say to the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt, how I carried you out on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites.
He gives them a covenant. He says, I delivered you. I did for you what you could not do on your own. I did for you what you could not do in your own strength. You could not rescue yourself from your slavery in Egypt. I brought you out of it. You could not rescue yourself from Pharaoh's army. You were on the brink of being destroyed. The armies of Pharaoh were bearing down upon them. And God says, I did what you could not do. I split the sea wide open. And you went through on dry ground. And then the armies of Pharaoh were engulfed with the waters as they came back over him. I did for you what you could not do for yourself. I hope, as I said last time, that you and I see ourselves in this. That God has done for us in Jesus Christ what we cannot do for ourselves. You cannot save yourself. You cannot earn or deserve God's grace. Well, you can. All you have to do is be perfect. Any takers? Be perfect in everything you do, thought, word, deed, action, motivation, all the time, every second of your life. Just be perfect. And then you're good with God. I don't know about you. I gave up on that one a long time ago. Impossible. And so God did for us what we could not do for ourselves. You can't earn grace. You can't deserve grace. You can't save yourself. God said, those who sin, they will die. The soul that sins, it will be punished. God even says to Moses in Exodus chapter 19, he says, I will not let the guilty go unpunished. A lot of people think God's just going to wink at sin. Oh, you know, when I stand before God, oh, you know, God, I just did my best and, you know, here I am. You're going to get the right boot of fellowship. I'm going to boot you right on out. I'm just having a little fun. Making sure you're staying with me. You awake? Say amen. Amen. God says, I've done for you what you could not do for yourself. Have you come to that place? Do you see yourself in this? Have you come to a place in your understanding and your relationship with the Lord of His redemption for you in Christ that He put Christ on the cross? He sent His Son to be on the cross to do what we could not do for ourselves. Now, you and I can choose whether we will receive the gift of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll receive the gift of forgiveness, the gift of eternal life, and then the gift of the indwelling Spirit who comes into us. We can either reject or accept it. And that's where God lays it out. He lays it out for us. Listen, God has done everything possible for you short of forcing you. He will not force you. He gives us a choice. He says, listen, here is my Son, my beautiful Son. I sent Him to this earth for my purposes. It wasn't plan B. It was plan A all along. And Jesus says, I have come to give my life as a ransom for the many. Are you one of the many? Are you one of those that have put your faith in Christ? Have you come to a place where you have laid your life down and you said, Jesus, I receive You. I believe You are the Son of God. You rose from the dead on the third day. You died for my sins. You took my punishment upon Yourself. Have you come to that place? If you haven't, I challenge you this morning. Let today be that day. I know we're all excited about the brunch. I am too. I hope they save me a big pile of bacon. Since they don't have any pizza, I'll take the bacon. And that's exciting, and I'm looking forward to it as well. But listen, we're here to do eternal business. Have you come to the place where you have put your faith in Christ and you know for certain, you know that you are saved and you're going to heaven? Well, Pastor, can you really know? Yes, you can. You know, at the end of the Gospel of John, it says, these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. If you're here today and you don't have assurance, we would love to pray with you. We would love to lead you to a place where you accept Christ and you are saved. When we do that, just as the people of God then, when we become the people of God through Christ, as we read that scripture, it says you become a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. And the requirement is that we obey God. And that hasn't changed. We're going to see this in just a minute. In terms of our witness to the world, in terms of our outreach to the world, displaying our light, we have to be holy. We have to be obedient. We have to follow the Lord. And the people respond, yes, we will do this. Isn't it interesting that they set an example for us in the way that they respond to the Lord? I'm amazed as I try to talk to people. You know, I'm a bashful fellow, so I don't really, talk to too many strangers. The other day I was in line at a little convenient mart. I take that back. It was a Walmart. And there was a fellow over there. This man, from the moment he came in, he was fuming and fussing. And, they had gotten something wrong on his bill, on his car. And, man, he was just pitching a fit. He was just going on and on and on. And I'm standing there, and all of a sudden he says, he uses the Lord's name in vain as an expletive. And I said, Jesus didn't do anything about this. Why are you using His name? And he just kind of looked at me. There's some people, all they want to do with Jesus is use His name in vain. I didn't go any further than that. I don't want to say anything more stupid. But, I wonder if this man goes to church. I wonder if this man considers him a believer. Listen, consider yourself a believer and you use the Lord's name in vain? You use it as a curse, as an expletive? You need to repent of that. But more importantly, we need to make sure that we have received Christ and His grace. You see, the outcome of the covenant with the people of God then was that they become a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Well, how are we to respond to Jesus Christ in the new covenant? That brings us to 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12. We read it last week. We're going to read it again because I don't feel like I finished it. So, Mike, if you would read that scripture for us, 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12.
But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us.
I want to park here for just a few minutes. Can you go back to verse 9 for me, Kim? You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. How does that happen? He brings you through who? Through Jesus. He calls you out of darkness into His wonderful light because Jesus is the great King of all light. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. The man who abides in me will be taken out of darkness. We move out of darkness. The light has come into the darkness and the darkness has not comprehended or understood it. That's how He calls us, out of darkness into His wonderful light. And when we do that, when He calls us, when we're saved, when we say yes to Jesus, guess what? We too now are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. You remember last week, Kim sang that beautiful song for us, I belong to you. Why did she sing that? Because it's the truth. When we come to Jesus, we're saved by Him, we now belong to God. But not only do we belong to Him, listen, we're part of a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Whew. Pastor, I don't feel very holy. Guess what? Neither do I. You're in good company. But my holiness is not based on my actions. My holiness is not based on my deeds. Understand me now, we're talking about my positional holiness. My holiness is based on the One who called me out of darkness into His wonderful light. See, when I step into the light of Jesus, I am declared holy. You can say amen to that. When I come to Jesus, I step out of darkness, and it's a big theological term called justification by faith, then we are declared, we are justified before Him as holy because of Jesus. But it doesn't stop there. Then He says, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. See, you and I are to live in a way, such a way, that we bring glory and honor. People look at us and say, wow, that person belongs to God. Can you go to the next verse 10? And this, he reiterates it again, that there was a time when you and I were not saved. We were not people of God, but He made us people of God. There was a time when we did not receive mercy, but now we have received mercy. Have you received the mercy of grace of God? Have you received it in your life? You say, well, Pastor, you know, I'm not sure how to do that. Well, number one, you got to want it. You got to know that you need it. You see, a person that doesn't think he needs it, there is nothing that anyone on this earth can do for you. I could come over here and throw some holy water on you, sprinkle it on you. I could get this anointing oil and splash you with some anointing oil. You could come up here and recite the creed. You could come up here and get baptized. But if you don't want mercy and you don't want the grace of the Lord, there is nothing anyone can do for you except the Holy Spirit of God who's working on your heart. But listen, if you're here and you think you're all right, you're fine, God has to change your heart. God has to touch your heart. But if you want mercy, it's here for you. If you want grace, it's here for you. And you can become His people. You can receive that mercy. And then, here's the calling. Go to verse 11. As we now are aliens and strangers in this world, you see, He makes us a nation of the people of God. Not a physical nation, a spiritual nation. And therefore, we are to abstain from sinful desires, which war against your soul. Oh, here goes pastors. You're going to start on the sins. That's right. That's right. You see, beloved, how are we doing in abstaining from sinful desires? How are we doing in that? In Sunday school class, we were talking about this, that, you know, we're bent, our nature is bent on sinful desires. Sinful desires, by the way, began as good desires, righteous desires, but they became skewed, they became corrupted because of the fall, because of sin. Sin came into the human race and corrupted our desires. See, Genesis chapter 1, this is a little bit of review. We saw Genesis chapter 1 that God created man and woman, made them both in the image of God. Chapter 2, he looks at the man, he said, it is not good for you to be alone, mister. I'm going to make a helpmate that is good for you. And so he creates the woman. And the woman images the female characteristics of God. And the man images the male characteristics of God. That's why when a man and a woman come together in marriage, that they best reflect the image of God. That's why the marriage relationship is to be a reflection of Christ and the church, the bride. And look what the enemy has done to marriage. I mean, it's over 50% now, divorce rate. Over 50% in our society. And it's not much better in the Christian community. Not much better. And no longer is marriage considered a sacred institution, you know. There's a lot of people who don't even get married. You know, we just live together and, you know, God, I hope that's okay. You know, we don't honor, you know, move right on back here. I'm about to go off on a rant. Caught myself because the time is ticking. Can you say amen? Pastor caught himself. Amen. Some of you saying. How are we doing in abstaining from sinful desires? How are we doing in living such good lives that people around us, unbelievers, look at us and they say, wow, something's different with you. What's different about you? When people look at your lives, do they see anything different? This doesn't mean that we're going to be sinless. It doesn't mean that we're not going to lose our temper at times, but, you know, guess what? If we lose our temper, we ought to go back and apologize and make it right. We ought to admit that we're wrong. How often does that happen in this society today? You know, if you say something about somebody else, you know, that's called gossip. When you start talking about somebody else to others, that's called gossip. You ought to repent of that. And if they hear about that, what are they going to think about you? If they hear about that, you ought to go apologize to them. You ought to grovel before their feet, kiss their feet. Y'all don't like that one too much. You didn't say amen to that one, did you? Pastor, you're crazy. Yeah. So are you. I remember this one time I was working in Eagle Electronics up in Boston. Brenda was finishing her senior year. I'd already graduated and I took this job and, man, I got a dose of the world. Whew. Man, it was rough working in that environment. The people in there, man, they were just insane. That was 1983. You know, fast forward 35 years and they're even crazier today, but people were just insane. They're constantly attacking each other and gossiping about each other and, you know, just the backbiting that was going on. And, you know, I was the new kid on the block, and so they started in on me. You know, Brenda and I weren't engaged yet when I first started, and we were both poor as church mice, and we had to put a ring for engagement, had to put it on a payment plan. I think I paid $2 a week for the rest of my life. But I put it on a payment plan, but I did still ask her to marry me. She foolishly said yes. And, I was so excited. And you know, went into the office there, and, you know, of course, word got around. And, of course, word got around that she didn't have a ring yet. You know, because I didn't have enough money to pay it off yet, so I was just glad she said yes, you know. And I wasn't going to get one of them dime store rings, you know, put it on her finger. That was cheesy. I wasn't going to do that. So we just waited. But, you know, that word got around it. And it's one lady. She came. She says, you mean to tell me that she said yes to you and you don't even have a ring for her? And she just looked at me with this spite in her eyes. And I was like, you know, shrinking. And they're like, that was like the big buzzword then from that point on. You know, you can be sure I tried to pay that ring off quick. and get that ring, you know. But that's just a small example. Then they found out that I was a Christian. Then they found out that I was going to be a preacher. Oh, man, the fun really started then. There's this one fellow named Frank, and he would come around, and oh, my goodness, you talk about a sailor's mouth. And, you know, those days I was bold, foolish and zealous and bold, and every other word out of his mouth was, you know, JC, you know, using the Lord's name in vain. So one time he came out with his expletives, you know, and he went back in his office after his, you know, his speaking, and I went back in his office and I said, you know, Frank, I said, Jesus Christ is my Lord, my Savior. I said, it really, really hurts me that you use his name in vain, that you use his name as a curse. I said, that really hurts me. And I don't understand how you could say that for the one that died for you. You know what he said? He looked me right in the eye and he said, you know what? Tough. He said, I'm not going to change a thing. He said, I'll just keep using it. Thought I was bold and got water thrown all over me. You know, but I stood my ground. I just walked away. There wasn't anything more I could say. But you know what? A couple days later, he came up to my desk. He said, I am so mad at you. I am so mad at you. I said, what? What? He said, now, every time I use the Lord's name in vain, he said, I feel bad. I feel bad about it. I said, amen. Amen. So I know what it's like to live in the work environment, you know, to work there. And it is tough in the world. It is tough. But listen, here's our calling. Live such good lives among unbelievers that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before people that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Listen, it's not just about getting saved. It's not just about getting forgiven and having eternal life. Now we have a high and holy calling because we are a special people. We are a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And you and I represent Him. We are His ambassadors. And it doesn't matter where you work, where you go to school, where you live, we are called to be His examples. Now, we do this not through our own strength, but we do it from the outcome of the new covenant. And we haven't gotten here yet, so I'm a little bit ahead of myself. But in the new covenant, we receive the indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit who empowers us. He gives us the strength to live a holy life. And we can live in that holiness. We can live in that power. Every day. Every day. Amen? Every day. But you have to plug in. You got to connect. I just recently sold a laptop. And shipped it out. The guy received it and he emailed me back. He said, the laptop is good. It's working. He says, but for some reason, it won't connect to my Wi-Fi. Now, you know, if you can't connect to the Wi-Fi, other than word processing and a few programs, you know, you can't get on the internet, you can't do the things you want to do. And so I suggested, hey, here's a few things you need to do to get connected to the Wi-Fi. Check this, password, so on and so forth. And he hasn't replied back yet. But you see, sometimes, folks, listen, we're coming down to the landing here. Are you still with me? Can you stay? Amen. We go through life without connecting to God. We're trying to do this thing on our own. We're trying to do this in our own strength. We need to every day, every morning, connect with the power of God through the indwelling Spirit. There should be a symbol built into us that says, not connected, not connected. Until we stop and say, oh, Father, I connect with You today through the power of the Spirit. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You apply the blood of Jesus and cleanse me. Give me new forgiveness. Let me live this day in the fullness of Your Spirit, Lord. Let me live this day so that I have the eyes and the ears of Your Spirit. Amen? So that we can do the works that God has called us to do. I can't do this in my own strength, and you can't either. But through the indwelling power of the Spirit, we can live that holy life. We can be a holy people. We can be that special people belonging to God that represent Him on the earth. Amen? We represent Him on the earth. We're going to close in prayer. And I again want to just encourage you, if you need to pray to receive Christ. And at the end of the service, I invite you, come on over this side because we're going to start setting up in a few minutes. But speak to one of our elders. Let them pray with you. If you have questions about following Jesus or what it means to be a believer, what a great day to ask those questions, to make a commitment to Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love and in your great mercy that you have a plan. And Lord, that your plan is to save us, rescue us from sin and death through the blood of your Son Jesus, our precious Lord and Savior. He died on the cross for us, rose from the dead. And Lord, now you have a plan for us to be your agents, ambassadors of Jesus, to share your love with a broken and lost world in various ways and in all our areas of life to be your representatives. Lord, I pray for your people that you will strengthen us. Lord, that you will allow us and motivate us, Lord, to connect with you every day. That we would live in holiness, representing you. Boldness. I pray for the ones that are here today that need encouragement, that need to recommit their lives to you, Lord. There are some that need to come to Christ, but there are also some that need to recommit their lives to Christ. I know you're speaking. I know you're working by your Spirit. Challenge us, Lord, that we would make that commitment. If that's you, right now in the quietness of this moment, I want you to do business with God. Some of you, you need to make that first step towards God. I encourage you to do that right now in the quietness of your heart. Just step towards Him. So, Lord, I don't even understand this yet, but I step towards you. I want to know Jesus. I want to understand and be saved. If that's you, make that step right now. And then there are those of you that you need to recommit your life. You've gotten off track. Or maybe you just need to be strengthened. Maybe you're feeling weak. Maybe you're feeling like you're out in the desert. And the Lord says, just turn to me. Return to me and I will return to you. And the truth is, you never left us, Lord. You're right there. We just need to turn to you. Embrace you again. Lord, I pray for those. If that's you, then make that recommitment to God right now. Right now. Say, Lord, I return to you. Lord, I need your strength. Please strengthen me. Please encourage me. Fill me afresh and new with your Spirit. I pray for every one of us, Lord, that we would lay hold of your calling on our lives. And Lord, that we would represent you rightly in this world. Father, I bless you, bless your people. I thank you for their attention to your word. We pray a blessing over the food that we're about to eat and enjoy together. We give thanks for all these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And the people of God said, amen and amen. If you want prayer, if you want to talk to one of our elders and one of